you stay standing. We're going to pray. Lord, I thank you that you're doing a new thing. I thank you you're working among us. And I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just come and move among us now, regardless of where we are, what we've been through this week, what we've been through in the last season of our lives. I thank you that you have got purpose, you've got future, you've got direction, you've got something for all of us here. And we just proclaim that. And we ask that you would just lift our eyes, we would see what you're doing. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Have a seat. Great to have you in church today. Well, I'm really pleased to be here. I didn't make it to church last week. I can't remember the last time I didn't get to church because I was sick. It was a long, long time ago. But I spent a week in Sydney, and I came back from Sydney with the mother of all flus. It was like, I've never had one like that before. So I was supposed to be preaching last Sunday at our Derwent Valley service, and I thought, yep, I'll get up there, everything will be all good. But Sunday morning, I just couldn't get out of bed, and I had to ring Dan up, and we had to rearrange things. And anyway, everyone did such a great job, but I'm only just coming right now. So I've had a week of feeling completely trashed. Alex has too. Lani's had it a little bit as well. So we've been sort of struck down a bit. But anyway, back here now and excited about this morning. So our theme at the moment, we've been talking about breakthrough. The fact that sometimes in church life, you know, you can feel like you just sort of go along to church and, you know, people try to encourage you and they talk about, you know, things that are going to happen. But everything sort of feels like it remains a bit the same. You know, you sort of feel like you're just caught in the same old cycle and it just goes along and nothing much changes. But you know what? I don't believe that that's the way that God's called us to live. I don't believe that he's called us to live a life where we feel like we're just stuck in a cycle. We're actually meant to be people of breakthrough. Kingdom people are meant to actually experience breakthrough and not just think that, hey, something good might happen. We actually live it. And the breakthrough that we're talking about is not just all about good things happening to you. It's about you actually living your life in a way that we actually bring about change to our city. We bring about change to our nation. We bring about change to our community because we actually believe that God is the God of breakthrough. And our key verse at the moment has been Isaiah 43:19. It says, "For I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it?" And then it goes on, and I really want to focus on these couple little bits here for a bit. And it says, "I will make a pathway through the wilderness, and I will create rivers in the dry wasteland." And you might feel like you've been in the wilderness in certain areas of your life. You might feel like you've been in a dry place. You might feel like, you know, you've had a season in a wasteland. Well, I've got good news this morning. There is a pathway through the wilderness. You are not supposed to live forever in a wilderness place. Sometimes you feel like maybe this is my lot in life. Maybe I'm just meant to be in the wilderness. Well, I don't think God wants anybody to remain in the wilderness. He actually wants you to walk through whatever season you're in and out the other side of it. Before Jesus went into his full-time ministry, well, he was always in full-time ministry, but before he actually went into actually starting those three intense years of ministry, the first thing that he actually did was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He didn't just sort of wander off into the wilderness and think, hey, I've got myself lost in the wilderness. No, the Spirit of God actually led him into the wilderness, and the Spirit of God led him out of the wilderness. And so often we get ourselves stuck somewhere because we sort of wandered in there and we wonder how we get out. Well, maybe it doesn't matter how you got into where you are, but the Spirit of God actually wants to lead you through whatever you're going through. And there are pathways through the wilderness and through the right wasteland. There will be rivers in the wasteland. In other words, you can be in a place where you think, I'm stuck. I don't know what's going to happen here. Well, you know what? The Spirit of God is actually wanting to pour into your situation. He's wanting to bring life. He's wanting to bring resource. He's wanting to bring hope. He's wanting to bring future into wherever you are at the moment. And that's rivers that come into the wasteland. So to walk through the wilderness into breakthrough, to experience refreshing in the wasteland, I think we need more than our own efforts. We need more than our own determination. And as Em was talking about and Rachel referred to, sometimes you think, I'm just so sick of just trying hard and feeling like I'm not getting anywhere. Anyone been there in that place? You know, I'm sick of just trying hard. Well, I've got some good news and perhaps some news that might not feel so good. Well, I don't think any of us can nail it in our own efforts. I don't think you, as good as you are, you're not good enough to just sort of try hard enough to get things to change. I've tried it. I'm not good enough. And that there is no way that I can manage enough things in my life to get things to change. If we're going to walk into breakthrough, we need more than our own effort. We need more than our own determination. We actually need the hand of God on our efforts. And I want to read some verses out of 2 Kings chapter 13. And it says this. It says, when Elisha, so 2 Kings 13, 14 to 19. When Elisha was in his last illness, and I felt like a bit this week, King Joash of Israel visited him and wept over him. Nobody came and wept over me. But my father, I see the chariots and charioteers of Israel, he cried. Elisha told him, so this is Elisha talking to the king of Israel, Joash. He says, get a bow and some arrows. And the king did as he told him. Elisha told him, put your hand on the bow. And Elisha laid his hands on the king's hands. And then he commanded him, open the eastern window. And he opened it. And then he said, shoot. So he shot an arrow. Elisha proclaimed, this is the Lord's arrow, an arrow of victory over Aram. And you will completely conquer the Arameans. Syrians is easier. At Aphek. And then he said, pick up the other arrows and strike the ground. So the king picked them up and struck the ground three times. But the man of God was angry with him. He said, you should have struck the ground five or six times, he exclaimed. Then you would have beaten Aram until it was entirely destroyed. Now you'll be victorious only three times. You see, Joash is an interesting king. He wasn't a particularly godly sort of character. And he wasn't like some of the kings of Israel, where he wasn't a king that actually worshipped false gods, but perhaps he was more a false worshipper of the true God. In other words, he didn't lead the people down this line of worshipping false gods, but he was pretty ambivalent about the way that he led. He was pretty ambivalent about the way that he worshipped God. He sort of just did the right thing to a point. So when a famous prophet was about to die, he'd actually seen what he'd done for Israel. He'd seen the way God had worked for him. So he thinks, well, I better go and see him. So he goes and he sees Elisha and he thinks it's a good idea to do that. And it's interesting what the prophet does. Elisha directs him straight towards what God is doing. Elisha didn't really even take him on about where he'd been. He didn't take him on about his lack of conviction in his worship of God. He didn't do that. He actually just wanted to lead him into the future. And so he says to him, he says, Joash, come and look out the eastern window and just come with me for a bit and you'll start to see what God is doing. So the king sort of tolerates it, if you like, and he just sort of goes with it. But for Elisha, Israel was being oppressed by the Syrians. And Elisha, before he dies, he wants to impart something. He wants his country to step out from under the oppression of the Syrians and live under the blessing and the authority of God. He actually wants them to step out from under oppression and actually live under a new authority, live under a higher authority, to live under blessing. And I believe that there might be people here this morning, and as we speak into this, what I think the Spirit of God is saying to people is he actually wants you to step out from under oppression. He wants you to step out from under things that are authorities in your life and actually place yourself under a greater authority where you can actually live in breakthrough and you can receive the blessing of God. You see, so often we don't experience those things is because we tolerate We tolerate other authorities in our life that hold us back from where God is calling us to go. And instead of stepping out from under that authority, we tend to just sort of live with it. We actually live with a weight on us. Have you ever been sort of out somewhere and you go out and it's cold when you leave home and, you know, you got a jacket or something on and it starts to warm up. And maybe you're walking around a bit or you're jogging or something like that and you start to get warm and you want to take the jacket off, but you got nowhere to put the jacket. So you've either got to leave it on and sweat like a pig inside the jacket or you got to tie it around your waist or something like that. And you find yourself trying to do what you're doing with too much on. You find yourself, you know, running around the shops and you've got this thick jacket on. You don't take it off because you haven't got anywhere to put it and you're still wearing it and you've got the weight of this jolly thing on you all the time. And eventually, you know, you might find a place you can take it off. But when you remove that jacket, it's like, wow, it's a whole lot lighter. Everything becomes a lot easier. And I think sometimes we are living with an oppression and an authority on us that we don't need to. And I want to speak into that this morning, how that we can step out from under that authority and place ourselves under the authority of God, where we can actually start to live in breakthrough. So that's what Elisha wanted for Israel. So shooting an arrow, that was sort of like a declaration of war. It was a symbol that hostilities were going to begin. And basically striking the ground, it actually meant shooting arrows into the ground. It was symbolic of the size of the campaign, if you like. So when he said strike the ground with the arrows, he didn't mean just pick the arrows up and bang them on the ground. He actually meant he meant shoot an arrow. And then he says, now strike the ground. In other words, I want you to keep shooting those arrows out through the eastern window. I want you to keep shooting them. And the amount of arrows you shoot is actually going to determine the size of this campaign that you're about to go on. And so he takes the arrow and he starts to shoot them out the window. And if we read on here in the text, it says, Elisha laid his own hands on the king's hands. Then he commanded him, open the eastern window. And he opened the window and he said, shoot. So he shot an arrow. Elisha proclaimed, this is the Lord's arrow, an arrow of victory over Aram. And you will completely conquer the Arameans at Aphek. So symbolically, Elisha was showing the king and Israel that he wanted to impart his power and blessing to their efforts. So if we want breakthrough, if we want to live in that, I think we've got to pick up our bow or whatever it is within our reach. And when God places his hands on our hands, his power is imparted to our efforts. So to experience breakthrough, number one, I think you've got to pick up the bow. You've got to pick up the bow. Now, in this text here, ancient kings essentially were warriors. They were men of war. Their tools of trade, if you like, were bows and arrows and swords and things like that. I mean, in later times, you know, often the tools of trade of leaders are much more, you know, politically motivated and working all those things out. But in those ancient times, it was very much about your bow and your arrow and your ability to actually bring a physical campaign. So what Elisha is saying to the king is he's saying, you need to right now step up and show some leadership in your nation. You actually need to go and pick up your bow and arrow. Not rely on somebody else to do it. You need to pick up your bow and arrow and you need to show that you're actually going to step out from under the authority of those Syrians and you're going to do something about that. And he says, if you will pick up your bow and arrow, the hand of God will come on that bow. The hand of God will come on what you've got and you're going to find yourself released from the oppression of the Assyrians. So we've actually got to pick up the things that we have. Whether that's your gifts, that's your abilities, that's the things that are in your reach, that's the stuff that you can do, that we pick up that and we allow God to place his hands on it and you'll be amazed at what happens when we allow the hand of God to come on what we've already got. So often we can feel stuck because we wonder what we're going to do. But what is it? What is it that you need to pick up? What is it that perhaps you've laid down that you're not using anymore, that God's saying, hey, I want you to come back to that. I want you to pick that thing up again. I want you to start to use that gift again. I want you to start to pray for some people again. I want you to take a risk again. I want you to start to use that gift you have in business. I want you to start to use that gift you have in finance. I want you to start to use that gift you have in being able to love people. I want you to start to use that gift of faith. I want you to start to use some of those things. I want you just to pick them up and start to use them, and the hand of God will actually come on that, and you will find yourself starting to walk into areas of breakthrough and lead other people into those areas. Number two, to experience the hand of breakthrough, number two, I think we've got to open the window. See, Elisha said to the king, he says, go over to the east window and open the window. He didn't just say, hey, you know, look out the window and see what's out there. The east was the direction that the oppression of the Syrians was coming from. He said, I want you to look out the east window. He says, I want you to open the window. In other words, I want you to disconnect whatever it is I want you to connect with your environment, is what I'm trying to say. I want you to remove the disconnection. And so often why we don't experience breakthrough is there are things that we're being called into, but we're living in this disconnected world where we're not connected with what God is wanting us to do. We find ways of putting barriers up, don't we? We find ways of being disconnected from it. Who's ever been on like one of those sort of European bus tour type things? I know my parents went on one, but I've seen pictures where people go on these whistle stop tours and you don't actually experience a whole lot of anything, because most of it you see through the windows of a bus. And there's this, you're in a controlled environment. You're sitting in the bus or the train or whatever it is, and you're in this air conditioned little bubble, but everything else is going on out there. But if you really want to experience it, well, you've got to get them to stop the bus. And you've got to get off the bus, you've got to open the window, and you've got to get that environment that's out there connected with where you are. And so often as kingdom people, we're wondering why God's not doing anything in our world, but we've got ourselves into some sort of sanitized environment. Yeah. We've got ourselves in our, whether it's our church world, whether it's our family world, whatever it is, and it's a bit like we've put up these barriers and we've got the windows closed, and we sort of know it's out there, but we don't engage with it. Well, we've got to open the windows. We've got to open the doors. We've got to walk out. We've got to remove ourselves from a sanitized, disconnected environment and actually engage with what God is calling us to do. You know, did you know that When you go to some places, if anybody that sort of travelled to parts of the developing world, I know that when I've been to particularly Nepal, that the main thing is that you don't just see it, you don't just see those places, you feel it and you smell it and you experience it and you spew. And you know, it totally gets in your system. If we're going to bring about change, if we're going to be people of breakthrough, we've got to allow some stuff to get in our system. We've got to not try and live a sanitized Christian life, where we've somehow put up these walls and these barriers. And you know what? I think so many times people feel disappointed and upset because we've got a wrong view of what God's ever called us to live. We actually think that he's called us to live with you know, everything wonderful. And when things are not quite as wonderful, we say, well, what are you doing, God? Well, he said, well, I haven't called you to live sanitized. I've actually called you to get your hands dirty. I've called you to be out there. I've called you to be engaged with your society and your community. And I will empower you in that rather than disconnecting you from it. Number three, to experience breakthrough. Well, I think we've got to keep shooting. You see, the king The king had an amazing opportunity to completely break through over the Syrians. But it says this in verse 19. It says, but the man of God was angry with him. He said, you should have struck the ground 5 or 6 times, he exclaimed. Then you would have completely beaten Aram until it was destroyed. Now you will have victory only 3 times. You see, King Joash did what the prophet asked him, but he did it without any zeal or conviction. So keep shooting. Keep shooting. I prayed once. I gave once. I was generous and no one appreciated it. I served for a while and I got discouraged. Keep shooting. Keep shooting. Keep praying. Keep serving. Keep being generous. Keep opening your world to people. Keep making space, bringing people into your world. And it's not like, oh, I did that once and it all failed. And life throws curveballs at us. I look around here and I see people that have been through all sorts of stuff. You know, there are things, but I want to encourage you, keep shooting. You know, you've been through a marriage situation. It hasn't worked the way that you thought. Well, you're not finished. Keep shooting. Keep shooting. You've been through a financial situation. You've been broke. Keep shooting. Keep shooting. You know, you've had some stuff go on in your family. There's been some tough relationships. You're not finished. Keep shooting. Keep shooting. You know, whatever it is, keep shooting. Keep shooting. Because the breakthrough that God has for you is actually not limited by what God has for you, but it's limited by how long you will keep shooting. Yeah. How long you will actually keep drawing back that bow and shooting out those arrows. How much you will continue to be a person who speaks faith when you don't feel like it. How often you will continue to look up when you've been through disappointment. How many times you will still stand up and know that God has a plan for you no matter what's going on. We've got to keep shooting. We've got to keep shooting. We've got to keep shooting. You see, King Joash, he was a king that, as far as his spiritual life went, he just did the bare minimum. He did just what he felt he had to do, but no more. And so often our Christian life can be that sort of thing. What's the minimum that God requires from me? There's an amazing story in the New Testament where a very, very learned, smart young man comes to Jesus. And he says to Jesus, well, hey, I've been following you a bit. I've been listening to your teaching and you've got a pretty good handle on it all. Because this guy was a lawyer. He was very versed in the law and he understood that Jesus knew what he was talking about. And he says, okay, what have I got to do? What have I got to do to inherit eternal life? What have I got to do to grab hold of what you're talking about? And really what he was wanting to know was, he says, I've done what I felt I need to do. I've kept the law. I've done the stuff. And Jesus looks at him, and I reckon he thought he'd done a pretty good job. So he was just saying, Jesus was hoping Jesus would say, okay, you just need to make this one little tweak. You know, just one little more thing and you're there. And that'll be the minimum, and you'll be hosed and home and hosed. But Jesus said, Jesus goes for the doctor. He says, what you need to do is you need to let everything go. He says, actually, what I want you to do is I want you to sell everything you've got and give it to the poor and then come and follow me. And as I read that, I think, man, gee, Jesus was tough. I mean, the guy was just sort of reaching out. You say, you know, come on, Jesus, give me something. And he says, sell everything. And when you've done that, come and follow me. But what Jesus was doing was actually going to the very heart of it. He was saying, there is no use deciding to follow me with the minimum, because there is only one way to follow me, and it's maximum. Yep. There's not a minimum with Jesus. It's all or nothing. And he's not necessarily going to ask you to sell your house and give it to the poor. But what he's going to ask us to do is bring everything that we've got to him and not just try and do the minimum. I reckon the most unhappy, disappointed, negative, bitter Christians are those that live the minimum. Because it doesn't work. The Christian life was never designed to work as a minimum life. It was an all or nothing life. And that's where we so often run into trouble, because we don't live with conviction. One of the things I've found over the years as I've ridden push bikes and motorbikes and things like that is the easiest way to fall off and hurt yourself is to do it without 100% conviction. If you're going to do something stupid and dangerous, either don't do it at all or do it with 100% conviction. Because if you do something stupid and dangerous with a 40% conviction, you will crash and burn. But if you're going to do something, when you do it with everything, when you totally commit, you normally get through. And I'm not about to tell anyone to do stuff that you shouldn't be doing. There's this little track in West Hobart, and they call it the Goat Track. It runs sort of up the side of Salvada Place for those that know the area, and it's basically a walking track, and if you ride back through there on your push bike, you can ride up this little goat track, and it's only quite short, but it gets incredibly steep, like it must go to about 30% or more halfway up. Now, I've ridden up it a lot of times, but I've seen people fall off riding up there, and the reason that people fall off is that they don't fully commit to it. It's like if you're going to go up that track, you've got to hit it hard and you've got to be fully committed and there's no going back and you're going to give it everything and you'll get over. But when you normally come unstuck is because you think, oh, wow, this is a little bit hard. This is a bit steep. I'm going to try and bail out halfway through and people fall off. And the Christian life can be a little bit like that. It's a bit like, you know, Jesus said, you know, if someone puts his hand to the plow and then turns back, it's going to be really, really hard and it's not going to work. But we've got to be 100% committed. And if we want to be people of breakthrough, what I'm just encouraging us is let's not live the minimum. Let's live all. Let's live all or nothing. You might feel like you don't have what it takes to step out or live with that sort of conviction. It might seem scary. But it's interesting. This is something I really want to finish with here this morning. And if the team want to join me. And actually, Simon, if you can come and help me here. But imagine Simon is King Joash and I'm the old prophet, nearly dead. And he says, hey, look out the east window. And he gets him to pick up his bow and arrow. So just humour me a bit there, Simon. He says, hold it up. He says, stretch it back. And I don't know what sort of training Joash would be in. He was probably an older man himself at this point. He probably felt like he had a lot of power to pull that bow back. The prophet comes along and he places his hands on the bow. It's a bit like he uses his strength to draw that back. And in that moment, there was something symbolically imparted where it wasn't about Joash's strength. It wasn't about his ability. It was about the power of God and what God was going to do. And right now, this morning, I think there are people here that need to pick some stuff up. And you're thinking, I don't know whether I've got the capacity. I don't know whether I've got the determination. I don't know whether I've got the strength to be able to do that. Well, the Spirit of God's right here, right now. And He actually wants to come and symbolically place His hands on whatever you pick up. If you pick up that bow, it's like He's saying, you know what, I'm going to place my power, my authority, my anointing on that bow. I'm going to place my power, my authority on that gift you have. I'm going to place my power, my authority, my anointing on that calling that you have on your life. That thing you've laid down, that thing that you used to think, I could do something with that, but perhaps you've been through disappointment, whatever it is. Why don't we, as we're ready, if you want to step out from under just some of that feeling of oppression, it doesn't mean that your life is oppressed. It just means that there can be certain areas where you just feel like, you know, I'm not able to flow in what I'm called to do. I'm just going to get the team to lead us here a bit in a minute. But I want you to, just as you're ready, I just want you to stand up. And then we're going to worship, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to pray. I'm just going to really believe that there's an impartation here today to actually step out from under some oppression and to place yourself under a new authority. That's under the authority of the King. That's under the authority of King Jesus. Because you know what? When you're under the authority of King Jesus, it doesn't matter what has been said about you. It doesn't matter what people think about you. It doesn't even matter what you think about yourself, really. You're actually under a new authority. And it's absolutely about what He says about you. And He says that you are loved. He says that you are valued. He says that you can be a new creation. He says that you can do all things through Him who gives you strength. He says you're not finished. He says there's an amazing future for you. So just lead us, Lance, and as people are ready, just start to stand up and, you know, pick up that thing and just allow the hand of God to actually just start to come on you this morning as you pick areas of your life up, as you pick whatever it is for you.